The following is provided through the IAAIS Program Share Service.
Welcome to this week's Soap Opera Digest. I'm Virginia Voice volunteer Pete Peake, reading today from the April 14th, 2025 issue of Soap Opera Digest to keep you up to date on all of your favorite characters and soap opera news. In our first story today, the Tune-In Alert, your handy guide to soaps the week of April the 14th, 2025. From Beyond the Gates, on Monday, April the 14th, Cat's birthday celebration stirs hidden tensions. Bill and Haley confront an unexpected turning point, and Danny struggles with heartbreak she can't quite leave behind. Naomi's unexpected legal maneuver rattles her fragile peace with Bill on Tuesday, April the 15th, and Tyrell's crisis pits Martin and Smitty's parenting styles against each other, and Danny's escalating struggles put Andre further into her dangerous orbit. On Wednesday, April the 16th, Danny hopes to rekindle her lost spark with Pamela's help. Martin and Smitty face new hurdles protecting Tyrell, and Nicole and Ted confront lingering issues in their marriage as they prepare to celebrate a relationship milestone. Naomi's renewed push for the game-changing settlement stirs tension with Bill on Thursday, April the 17th, and Tyrell's escalating bullying battle forces Martin to reconsider his parental approach, and Samantha's modeling ambitions spark a bold plan with Kat and Chelsea. On Friday, April the 18th, Vanessa's bond with Joey challenges her marriage, and Naomi arranges a family outing to support Anita, and Danny contemplates a grand comeback in fashion with a bold new venture at Pamela's side. From The Bold and Beautiful, on Monday, April the 14th, Carter reassures Brooke over their lost loves. Sheila pushes Poppy over the edge, and Luna disguises herself as a delivery person to see Will. Will finally rids himself of Luna on Tuesday, April the 15th, while Electra confides in her Aunt Ivy about her dilemma with Will, and Brooke erupts when she overhears Daphne's plea to Carter. Bridget surprises Liam by saying that she is working on his behalf. Luna tells Sheila she will not give up on getting Will to be her own, and Deacon advises Hope on relationships based on her past on Wednesday, April the 16th. On Thursday, April the 17th, Lee reminds Finn that father or not, he is to stay far away from Luna, and Steffi and Liam express their joy at being Kelly's parents. Liam becomes determined to take Kelly to her dance despite Grace and Bridget's objections on Friday, April the 18th, while Kelly confides in Steffi that she wishes Liam would be at her dance more than anything. Will Kelly's miracle come to pass? From Days of Our Lives, on Monday, April the 14th, Chanel is there for Johnny, while Raffi and Sammy catch up. Javi sticks up for Leo to Sammy on Tuesday, April the 15th, and Kristen faces off with Xander. As Jada and Raffi clear the air, Sammy reconnects with Kate on Wednesday, April the 16th. Sarah tells Maggie the truth on Thursday the 17th, and Sean and JJ issue a warning to Melinda on Friday, April the 18th, and Xander laces into Philip. And from General Hospital, on Monday, April the 14th, Trina confides in Portia. Willow makes a big decision, and Brennan reassures Carly. Laura's news rattles Sonny, and Ava tries to soothe Rick's worries. Elizabeth gets a warm homecoming on Tuesday, April the 15th, and Alexa wrestles with her conscience. Trina seeks out Ava, Chase and Lois have a heart-to-heart, and Brooklyn lays out her plan. On Wednesday, April the 16th, Lucky makes a commitment. Tracy is intrigued, and Lucas walks in on a tense moment. Drew hatches a new scheme, and Curtis is suspicious of Jordan. Sonny hosts Dante's birthday party on Thursday, April the 17th, and Brooklyn and Chase plan their future. Felicia makes a request of Carly. Cody offers assistance to Molly, and Marco gives Alexis food for thought. On Friday, April the 18th, Sonny confides in Carly. Jason confronts Sasha. Anna and Felicia catch up, and Jordan gets a tempting offer, and Maxie is taken aback. In our next story today, the tune-in alert, The Bold and Beautiful, It's Inoperable by Diane Brunstein. Taken by surprise, the action in this Bold and Beautiful preview for the week of April the 14th begins with Will in the wardrobe department at Forrester Creations, surrounded by stunning dresses. Luna approaches him, wearing a matching lavender bra and underwear set, along with a big smile, as she says, "So what should I try on first?" Luna has made no secret that she will do anything to please the heir to the Spencer Publishing dynasty. How much longer can Will resist her advances? Explosive confrontation. Sheila finally gets to confront the older woman who she believes seduced her son, Finn. She spots Poppy at the Il Giardino and goes on the attack. "You're the slut," Sheila screams, obviously furious at Poppy and not holding it in for a second. "I've heard all about you," spits back Poppy, with the implication of all of Sheila's past crimes in every word she isn't saying. Blinded by rage, Sheila asks, "How about dessert?" As she asks that question, she practically drowns Poppy's face with a pie. Fighting his way back. At the hospital, Liam is fighting for his life. Dr. Grace Buckingham isn't alone. Bridget Forrester is also on the scene as Liam struggles in his hospital bed. "I don't think your daddy's going to make it to the dance," says Steffi, breaking her daughter's heart. Kelly looks at her with confusion and says, "What?" as her voice is breaking. Finn is also wanting to help his stepdaughter's father. "Liam is lucky to be alive," he says, as Grace and Bridget shoot knowing looks at each other. "There's something else we'll have to tell you, Finn," says Bridget. As the camera zooms in on Finn, Grace can be heard saying, "It's inoperable." In our next story today, the tune-in alert, General Hospital's promo, Risky Moves and a Secret Revealed by Diane Brunstein. A risky move, the action in this General Hospital preview for the week of April the 14th, opens with Portia weighing in on whether Kai should have the experimental surgery that could save his football career. "I cannot in good conscience recommend the surgery," she says. Trina looks crestfallen at the news, but Kai has a different reaction. "I'm going to have the surgery," he insists to Trina when the two are elsewhere talking things over. A plan in motion. Laura and Jordan have decided they need a public split over Sonny so that Laura can fire Jordan, who will then go undercover working for Jen Sidwell. In order to make it work, they use the willing tool that is Ezra Boyle, who tells Laura, "Your allegiance should be to the people of Port Charles, not to the local crime boss," as Curtis, Jordan, Anna, and a smug Drew look on. Things are happening exactly how Congressman Drew Kane wants in his vendetta against those he believes have wronged him in the quest for more power. The secret is out. Sonny is meeting with his lawyer. She has taken on a new associate, and Marco is there as well. The younger man gets a shock when he meets his boss's biggest client. "Jen Sidwell, that's your father, right?" asks Sonny. Who knows the answer to the question he posed? Marco looks like a deer caught in the headlights as Diane whips her head around to see his reaction. In our next story today, the tune-in alert, Beyond the Gates, What Are You Two Up To? By Diane Brunstein. A birthday celebration. The action in the Beyond the Gates preview video for the week of April the 14th opens with everyone celebrating Kat's birthday. Balloons are everywhere. Gifts are piled on the table, and the Dupree-Richardson clan and assorted friends are gathered to mark the special occasion. "Look who I found outside," says Martin, who is carrying yet another gift as Thomas trails behind him. Kat turns to see her crush enter the room. "I don't want to have the cake unless I really know the cake," says Kat, speaking in code to her cousin and business partner, Chelsea, about taking things further with Thomas. The former model slyly asks her cousin, "Do you have to love the cake to eat the cake?" The action cuts to a brief moment of flirtation between Kat and Thomas as Kat is heard saying, "I just need to trust the cake," but does she? Father and daughter battle. The action switches to Bill's law office, where he's talking to Naomi, his daughter and current opponent. "This has always been about you getting back at me for what you think I did to your mother," Bill says. "It's a load of crap," shoots back Naomi, adding, "Don't play me. You know, that's not my style, and I'm not afraid of you." Getting her groove back, Dani is with her best pal, Pammy. "I've heard that getting back up after a series of knockdown punches is a process," says Dani, and excited Pammy announces, "But lucky for you, I have a proposal to make." Admitting the truth, two other besties are also getting to the heart of the matter. Nicole is talking with Vanessa, putting her on the spot. "Do I have feelings for Joey Armstrong?" "Yes," she admits readily. Back at the party, Anita walks in as Dani and Nicole are chatting. "What in the world?" she asks, shocking her daughter and granddaughter. "What are you two up to?" Anita questions. Will she get a straight answer? See it all for yourself in the promo videos. Let us know what you think in the comments section. In our next story today, the tune-in alert, Young and Restless, Don't You Need a Break? By Diane Brunstein. On a break, the action in this Young and Restless preview for the week of April the 14th begins with two of the Newman siblings catching up while at the Crimson Lights. A lot has happened, what with Martin being revealed as Phyllis's and Sharon's kidnapper. Is Nick still planning to accompany Sharon and Faith to London to visit Noah? Don't you need a break? Asks an exasperated Victoria. That's what this would be, he tells his big sister, trying to explain himself, but obviously frustrated by their conversation. No, I mean a break from Sharon and all of her drama, Victoria not so tactfully points out. An interruption. Jack enters the Genoa City Athletic Club's dining room and finds Michael sharing a meal with the mustache. Always up for giving Victor a hard time, he goes to their table. "You seem to be in a good mood, Jack. Did anything in particular happen today?" asks a jovial in-tune Michael. Smiling, Jack answers, obviously amused to get the opportunity to rub something in Victor's face. Jack turns to look at Victor and says, "Well, thank you for asking." Gee, where do I start? For one thing, both his sister finally safe from a madman that has to have the Abbott Patriarch in good spirits. On the spot, at Society, Lily is talking with her cousin Nate's half-brother, Damien. "This is your last chance to get me to believe that I can trust you," presses Lily. Damien answers back, "I'll tell you everything, with one condition. What terms will we lay down and will Lily agree to them? Let us know what you think in the comments section." In our next story today, the Days of Our Lives promo video, That Vampire Better Be Gone, by Diane Brunstein. Spicy Sammy, the action in this Days of Our Lives video preview for the week of April the 14th, opens with Raffi and Sammy running into each other, with their lips, as the voiceover says, Sammy's getting spicy. Raffi is hurting over what he sees as a betrayal by Jada, sleeping with Sean after the imposter Raffi broke her heart. Sammy is feeling vulnerable after revealing her checkered past to her son, Johnny. How far will Raffi and Sammy go during their search for comfort? Salty Maggie, There is no love lost between Vivian and Maggie. So when Maggie spots that woman back in her house, you just know the fur is going to fly. The voiceover says, Maggie's getting salty. Looking like he wants to crawl in a hole as he stands behind Maggie, simply shakes his head as Maggie stares daggers at Vivian while Vivian stares right back. Maggie turns to Philip and says, that vampire had better be gone by the time I come back home. And Maggie means it, even if Vivian couldn't care less. Angry Xander. The next scene has Xander at his office, and he's on the phone as the voiceover says, Xander's getting angry. Vivian barges in, ready to blow up the delicate balance at Titan, and Victor did not write the letter that Philip found, she tells Xander, as he looks ready to blow at any moment. Suspicious JJ. At the Salem Police Department, JJ is talking with his girlfriend Gabby, as the voiceover says, JJ's getting suspicious. Gabby reacts by yelling, you think I shot EJ? The visuals, shown as she says that, show her with a gun spying outside the mansion through a window. JJ says, motive opportunity and you don't have an alibi. The setting switches to overseas when the voiceover says, and Marlena's search for John may be over. Steve is getting off the phone, and he has news to share with Marlena. This is the end of the road for us. We need to step back. Marlena, in shock, step back, you mean? She asks, obviously upset. Let us know what you think in the comments section. In our next story today, casting news. The Young and Restless alumni Daniel Goddard joins General Hospital by Mara Levinsky. Daniel Goddard, who is best known to daytime fans for playing Kane Ashby on The Young and Restless, on which he aired from 2007 to 2019, with a break in 2011, is joining General Hospital in the role of Professor Henry Dalton. The mysterious environmental physics professor the WSB is investigating. TV Insider, which was the first to report the news of the actor's hiring, also shared that viewers can first expect to see the actor on General Hospital on Tuesday, April the 15th. Coming around again, in an interview with the outlet, Goddard explained that he hadn't been focusing on acting in the years since his Genoa City departure, but late last year, he was contacted out of the blue by his former talent manager, Michael Bruno, who thought the Australian actor would be a good fit for the newly vacant role of Jack Brennan, originally played by Charles Mensur. Goddard agreed to let Bruno submit him for the part, but confessed that with so much time having passed since his last audition, it was a bizarre experience for me. You feel like, in a way, you're going back to ground zero, back to the beginning of it all, even though you've been on the different soap operas for like 15 years. It was humbling, but it was more of an awakening, and in that moment, I felt extraordinarily vulnerable. Goddard didn't land the role, Chris McKenna did, but a few weeks after getting the news that GH had decided to go into a different direction, Bruno called Goddard again, this time with even better news. The show had created a new character, Professor Dalton, and wanted Goddard to play him. I was just gobsmacked by it, the actor gushed. I felt like it was meant to be. By design, Goddard doesn't know much about Professor Dalton's background or what fate GH has in store for him. He explained, I said to Frank Valeni, the executive producer, don't tell me anything about the character. As for why, the actor said, I'm allowing myself to go on the journey of who Dalton is from the audience perspective and from my perspective of what is the growth and evolution of him. I will allow it to unfold as the bits and pieces present themselves to me. Goddard noted that thus far, he'd worked with both Eden McCoy, who plays Jocelyn, and Fiona Hughes, who plays Anna, two characters with ties to the WSB. But this is not his first brush with General Hospital royalty. On The Young and Restless, his character Kane was the son of not one but two Port Charles A-listers, Colin, played by Tristan Rogers, who plays Robert, and Genevieve, played by Jenny Francis. I've been waiting for my moment to see Jenny and give her a big hello and a big hug, he enthused. Kane was also in a popular and long-running pairing with Crystal Kahle's Lily, and when the show wrote Kane out of it in 2019, the actor made it clear that it was not his choice to exit Genoa City. He confirmed the news of his departure online, writing, "It is with a heavy heart that I share the news that I will no longer be part of the cast of The Young and Restless. I am shocked and gutted as you are. I almost didn't post this, but I felt the most loyal and loving fans an actor could wish for deserved to know and watch the last story arc, knowing the rich meaning behind it. I am forever grateful for the 13 years I've been part of the Young and Restless family. But sadly, it seems that without Neil and Callie, there is just no Kane." On November 13th of that year, the actor posted the Soap Opera Digest cover featuring the news of his exit on Facebook and wrote, "I still can't believe it. I love that show with every ounce of my being. Thank you to each and every fan who has reached out to me and shared their love, support, and disbelief. I love you like family, and to all the cast and crew from The Young and Restless who have called and texted their support, you are all so very loved." Now that he's getting another crack at soaps, Goddard is nothing but appreciative. "It's been an extraordinary, wonderful experience so far," he smiled. "I couldn't be more grateful to be back in what I think is probably the most beloved genre in all of entertainment." In our next story today, breaking news, Jack Wagner returns to The Bold and Beautiful as Nick Marone, by Mara Levinsky. Surprise! Jack Wagner returned to The Bold and Beautiful set today to reprise the role of Nick Marone, which he originally played from 2003 to 2012. According to Deadline, which was the first to report the news, the actor isn't just making a one-day appearance as he did when he popped back into the show as part of ex-wife Brooke Logan's Dream in 2022. He'll be back for a more sustained arc that will kick off on June the 13th. You can go home again. During Nick's original run on the Los Angeles scene, he gave Ridge Forrester, his half-brother via shared biological father Massimo Marone, a run for his romantic money, marrying her once. The character was also romantically linked to Taylor Hayes, who he also married, as well as Brooke's daughter Bridget, who he married several times. The storyline Nick is returning for will once again see him entangled with Brooke, who has been reeling from her latest split with Ridge and his latest reconciliation with Taylor. Wagner, who in addition to his work on The Bold and Beautiful, is well known to daytime fans for his breakout role as Andrew Frisco Jones on General Hospital, and had a successful primetime run as Peter Burns on Melrose Place, was last seen on The Bold and Beautiful for its 35th anniversary episode 3 years ago, and at the time he explained to Soap Opera Digest that his comeback came about pretty much the same way I originally came to The Bold and Beautiful. I got a call from Brad Bell, the executive producer and head writer, and he said, "Hey, do you want to be part of this tribute episode for the 35th anniversary?" We talked, and I said, "It sounds great." The actor noted that he felt a great sense of nostalgia walking back onto his old stomping grounds. The drive to the studio, as well as going in, was a memory lane, he said. It was great to see all the photos on the wall and then reconnect with the crew. There was a cast photo, and I meandered out there, and I didn't want to be part of it, but they asked me, so it was great to see everybody, and I'm really happy that I did it. Wagner was delighted to reunite with co-star Catherine Kelly Lang, who plays Brooke, when they worked together on the Milestone episode. "I can't say it felt like just yesterday, but I can say it felt comfortable," he reported. "Kelly and I caught up, and I was able to talk to all the actors, too, about how the format in daytime has changed." Since he left The Bold and Beautiful, Wagner has starred on Hallmark's hit series When Calls the Heart, but told Digest that he still felt a strong kinship to daytime. "I believe there is definitely an audience for daytime soap operas, and I love the fact that these shows have been able to stand the test of time. Are you excited to see Nick back on The Bold and Beautiful? Let us know what you think in the comments section." In our next story today, General Hospital exclusive, Fiona Hughes on celebrating 40 years as Anna, It's Really Gratifying, by Mara Levinsky. If you're having a hard time believing that April the 10th, 2025 marks 40 years since Fiona Hughes made her General Hospital debut as Nana Devane, just imagine how she feels. "It's literally crazy," Hughes marvels. 40 years since you saw the whites of my eyes the very first time. Wow. For the British actress who wrapped her first General Hospital run in 1992 and made multiple short-term visits before returning full-time in 2012, her General Hospital anniversary also coincides with her move to the U.S. "It's 40 years in America, and that's part of the celebration. I've been back and forth from the show, but the character has always been a mainstay of mine, and somewhere I've always found parts of myself." History in the making, the very first scene Hughes shot as Anna was with a day player, but her first time working opposite Tristan Rogers, who plays Robert, was one she'll never forget. Legendarily, as he walked away from set, he turned to me, put his arm around me, and said, "We're going to have fun, kid." It was like straight out of a Western. Another backstage encounter during her earliest Port Charles days is likewise forever imprinted on Hughes. She recalls, "It was probably the next morning that John Riley, the ex-Sean Donnelly who passed away in 2021, came over to me and gave me this hug, huge hug, big bear hug, and said, 'Anytime you need anything, you can just call on me. You can just ask.'" "We're a family, and you're part of the family now." He was wearing his leather jacket, and he had this little mug of coffee in his hand, and in that moment, I honestly felt that it was so genuine. It was him saying, "Whatever it is you need, we've got your back." And boy, did he ever. Riley became an important mentor to Hughes as the then inexperienced actress adjusted to the demanding world of daytime TV. "He was just somebody I could turn to, that I could talk about anything with," and she smiles and says, "especially breaking down scenes. He was a master at it, and I spent hours rehearsing with him and Tristan. John really taught me how in-depth he went into a script. I would just sit in his dressing room and we'd start breaking down the dialogue. He was a really good sort of uncle figure for me there, and really, really kind of genuine and funny. I would say that he was my first touchstone there, someone that I could just trust and talk to." For the record, she says that she is 100% thrilled 13 years later that she opted to slip back into Anna's skin on a more permanent basis. "It's really gratifying to be able to do this work and still have people appreciate it," Hughes declares. And though she's not quite comfortable taking full credit for creating one of the show's most iconic characters, she winks, "Let's say I slipped into her skin. It was there, they drew the outline, and it was a perfect fit." Even after all these years, she counts herself among the legions of Anna fans. "I love playing a badass," she says, "a badass whose heart, hopefully, is in the right place." Thank you for joining me today for the Soap Opera Digest. I'm Pete Peek for the Virginia Voice. This program is also available on demand at www.virginiavoice.org.